Lori had a great Sunday school lesson. I already enjoyed being in God's house this morning. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors and just make yourself at home this morning. And we had a great Sunday school lesson, and we need to have it again. That way our building fund would go up. It was about Ananias, and we know what happened when he didn't give, but it was a great lesson, bunch of great points in it. This morning, before we get started, I'll go ahead and we had a couple softball games last week, and had a good time, turned out fun, and it was hot, and we saw just had a good time, just enjoyed each other's fellowship, and come out, and we had a great support team too. I want to thank everyone for coming. We had both nights we played, we had a great number of people there, and they even sat in some very hot sun one night. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But well, it was a good time and appreciate it. We got a couple games coming up this week. So I just pray that God uses that thing to touch someone. I know it's fun to fellowship, fun to have a good time, but what we're here for is to uplift the name of Jesus Christ, and that's the most important part. So we'll welcome you out to that. This morning, do we have any prayer requests? I have one special one. Jackie McDaniel. He's at home, and Jane is taking care of him. So remember them. They stand in very dire need of our prayers, as she's got a tough job on her hand. I know Jackie is, his health has not been good in several years, but with this surgery, he's really went downhill, and as far as his getting around ability. So y'all just pray for her. If you get a chance, go by and see him, or just if you can help in any way, I know she'd appreciate it. And we saw her Tuesday night before the ball game, and she was really tired. She had been through a lot. His surgery's been, I guess, a month ago now or longer, and he's still been in the hospital and rehab places, and she finally got him home. So be much in prayer for them as they go through this time. Do we have any other prayer requests?
I have an unspoken place.
Remember that. Remember Miss Kelly, she texted me this morning. She's not feeling well, so y'all be much in prayer for her. The Dake family over in Ramburn, be much in prayer for them, lost a loved one. Any others?
You pray for Tucker. He's up and at it, but he's still in pain here, in and out throughout the day. So.
Tucker had a little surgery Friday. He's getting better. He's probably getting a lot of ice cream.
Yeah.
That'll do anybody good. Turn your member Pam as she improves, and do we have any others? We don't have any other prayer requests. Let's remember our service this morning, remember each other, and remember our song service, and just pray that the Spirit of God shows up. I've said many times, I can speak a million words, but I can't do anything until He speaks, so He can speak to her heart this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day You've given us. We thank You for Your miracles of life, Father, and just Your blessings of life. And Lord, we ask You to be in our service this morning. Father, we know we gather here this morning as a group, Father, that has many failures. We have many needs. And Lord, we ask You to meet them. Father, we ask You to forgive us if where we come short. Lord, we thank You most of all for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die for us, that we can be freed from this sin nature that was given to us by Adam. Father, we thank You for that. Lord, these prayer requests, we ask You to touch each situation. Each situation is different, and Father, You know how what's best. You say that everything works together for the good of those that love You. Lord, we ask You to work as only You can. Be with this family in Ramburn that has lost loved ones. God, just touch them. Comfort them as only as possible through You. Lord, be with our song service this morning. Touch our singers. And Father, it comes a preaching hour. I pray You give me the words to preach. You give us a knowledge to understand it, open our hearts to it, that we may leave here different than when we came in. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, stand and join us in our call to worship.
Come to the fountain.
Keep your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As He cries out to Thee, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus.
say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. A good thing, a little faith is all I had right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing.
Bring it forever and ever.
Again, Pat's smiling, she's ready. I was the message the Lord's laid on my heart today is, I don't know who had somebody had posted on our New Harmony website, Facebook page about come grow with us and stuff about growing. And I began looking at the sign this week as I would drive up to church, and I began thinking, if we don't do some growing, spiritually speaking, then we have false advertisement. And I looked up in this morning on Google, in Alabama, false advertisement is illegal. It's against the law. You'll get a fine. We got the mayor here. We can't be breaking the law. So today, the title of my message is "It's Time to Grow Up." It's time to grow up. Boy, how many times have I heard this in my life? I'm 40-something years old, or 21, and I've still heard it before. You need to grow up. And I began studying this week about growing spiritually, and I found out some truths, that there's a way we can know if we need to grow. And guess what I found out is that I need to grow. I found out of how I am still. I thought I had learned some things, Terry, but I found out that in many ways I'm still a babe in Christ. And I think if we'll all be honest with ourselves, we'll find out that we are still babes, as Paul talks to Corinthians. If you turn your Bible on over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, give you a little background. Paul was inspired to write 1 Corinthians because of some divisions going on in the church. They had divisions over many things, but doctrinally speaking, one was they began talking about who was the best preacher. One said Paul was, one said Apollos was, and this one was, and that one was, and Paul tells them that they're all one. We're in this thing together. And we see in our time that there are a bunch of different churches in Cleburne County. I think we have 34, 37 churches. I never can remember that number. But I think sometimes, not just Cleburne County, but all over our country, I think we are led to believe we're in competition. But may I tell you today, we're not in competition. We're in this thing together. We're in together. It's not about what I can do, but what you can do, but it's about what God can do. And until we grow spiritually, we can't comprehend these truths. And Paul was having to teach this, the basics of Christianity, over and over and over. And he never could get to the point where he could truly teach them about who Jesus was, about what Jesus is doing now, and what is to come, about the book of Revelations and all the great things that we can learn about today. He never got to teach that because he was continuously going on about you shouldn't do this. You can't do that. You can't do that. And you know what that is just like. It's like when you're a child and your mother has to tell you 10 times, put that toy up. Or either when they're teenagers, your mama has to tell you 100 times to clean up your room. Or when you're 40 years old and you got a table beside your chair and your wife has to tell you to pick up your junk. I knew I'd get one amen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we see some babes in Christ. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself today. And I printed you out something. I didn't print all of them because I didn't want to use all of our paper. But I've got something I want you to go to and give you a challenge for the next year, I think it is, or something. But it's a spiritual growth assessment process. I want every single one of us after this message today to go to Lifeway's website. Or y'all, most people's got a computer at home, or you got a phone, and download this thing. And I want you to be honest with yourself and see if you need some spiritual growth. And I promise you something, don't do this if you don't want to know the truth, because it's going to hurt your feelings. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, "And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not yet carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers, by whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, I pray for a little bit that you'd be in our midst and help us truly to see our problems and see where we need growth and to give us a desire to want to grow, to be the Christian you call us to be. Father, I pray that we are tired of being babes in Christ, that we're ready to know some new things. We're ready to go, to carry on and to get further in your kingdom. And Lord, I ask you for the knowledge and the understanding, but most of all, I ask you for your spirit to be in our midst, that you'll prick hearts, Father, and they be one here that don't know you, that they will before it's everlasting too late. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started, something hit my mind. The church where I went last Sunday wanted to thank y'all for allowing me to have a day off and to come be with them. I baptized a little bitty girl. She's 6 years old, but she's only about that tall, so she may take after me, but I don't know. She's about that tall, and she was born when I was at the church. And when you see a small child, you begin thinking, well, do they know what they're doing? And I talked to one of the deacons, and he said she'd come and talk to me. And said, I asked her, said, Maylee, do you understand what you're doing? She said, yeah. I don't want to go to hell. I've asked Jesus to save me. I said, well, it's good enough for me. That's just how simple it is. But I want to thank y'all for that and allowing me to do that. Now let's get into this message here. And think about this. Is the title of it is, "It's Time to Grow Up." We got it on our sign. We've got everything going in the right direction. But I wonder, do we truly know what we must do to grow? I began looking at thinking about the human body, and I've had a problem growing tall. I've never had a problem growing out. And you know the reason, and it probably wouldn't have mattered to my height. I think it comes from my grandmother, who is about 4 foot tall, and she's 90 years old, so there may be something about being short. I don't know. We'll see in 90 years. But listen, I began thinking about this growing, and according to all the doctors and the people who are supposed to know, if a child is to grow and to be healthy, he must take, or she must take, of five food groups. Five different food groups. Now, I didn't take the time to pin them down. We all know what they are. They're in that pyramid thing, and Misty and them's laughing. They've been eating cucumbers for a year, and they're in this different food group than we are, but they're growing the other way. They're shrinking, and we are growing. But anyway, listen, you must have five food groups to grow. You must eat the food because each food has a special nutrient that our bodies has to have to grow as we become adults, as we grow up to being adults. And as we begin seeing this thing, I want you to think about this. What if you took a small child, such as Brandon and Carly's little baby, or their little baby, you took any little baby into church, and you fed her milk for the rest of her life? Even when she's 20 years old, she was still sucking a bottle. Even when she's 30 years old, she's still sucking a bottle. You know what would happen is she probably wouldn't make it to 20 years old. She probably wouldn't make it to 30 years old. And she probably wouldn't grow very well, because once we begin our teeth and we get stuff that God gave us to grow, it's time to start eating some real food. So I wonder today, why have we had so many spiritually babes in Christ sitting on the pews of churches for years and years, and we wonder why is our church down? Why is things down all in our land? Why does people not care about God anymore? It's because most people that sit on our pews have not got past biblical stories. We've got not past Noah, and hey, I love to preach about Noah. We've not got past Jonah and the whale, and it's a great story. You can be saved through that message. There's a message there of Jesus Christ. And in all the stories, there's messages of Jesus Christ. But listen, it's time that we go forward to find out some new things that God has for us. We've been sitting here long enough, drying up, withering away on simply getting the milk that our preachers give. And listen, as being a pastor and a preacher, I believe that God lays the messages on our heart. I know this. I have been there spiritually, and I've been at times when you pray, and boy, the message, Brandon knows what I'm talking about, it just comes, and you feel it, and you know that's the right message for the church that Sunday, and you know it has to be, and time again, it's on the same thing. You think, God, what is wrong? I want to preach about something new. I want to teach them something so they don't think I'm stuck in one thing. But I've learned very quickly in my ministry, you preach what God lays on your heart. It don't matter if you preached it last Sunday, if you preached it 2 weeks ago. If he lays on your heart, brother, that's what you preach. But listen, he teaches us time. And time again, I've caught myself preaching about the same thing. And I know God has led me that way. So I ask him, God, why do we get this over and over? And he says, I tell you in 1 Corinthians, because the babes are not ready for the meat. They're simply still on the milk because they've never took an opportunity to grow. So I began looking at five food groups, spiritual food groups, that we must partake of if we're going to grow spiritually. And I began thinking about this as I was studying this week. How many of us really, really want to grow spiritually? I'm not asking you to raise your hands, because in this setting, every single one of us would raise our hands. Because our neighbor's looking on, but in your heart of hearts, down deep inside you, do you really desire to know more about God? Do you desire to know more about this word? Do you desire to go a little bit farther than the basics of Christianity? Are you happy to sit there and just know you're saved and everything's hunky-dory? But I believe if we're saved today that we should have a desire to want to know more about Jesus Christ. To do that, we've got to grow spiritually. Listen, the first of these, and I preach about this a lot, and other preachers preach about it a lot, but you can't get by it. The most important part of our food group is prayer. It's prayer. It's one we so neglect. As in my own life, I fail miserably in this aspect of prayer. I read about great men of God in the Scriptures. I read about Jesus Christ. I read about Paul. And all these men had a personal prayer life. They had time they got along with God. They had a set time they would go, and they would kneel down no matter where it was, and they would cry out to a living God. Now, if Jesus Christ needed to pray, don't you think me and you might ought to? Listen, David had to pray. All these great men of God had a prayer time. Let me ask you today, do you have a prayer time, a time that you get along with God and you spend time? Nothing else matters. You don't hear any noises. You get in a quiet place. The Bible says, go into your closet and pray. And most of us can't go in there because we've got a million shoes in it. But listen, we've got other rooms of our house we can go in and we can cry out to God. When is the last time you earnestly prayed? When is the last time you set up a designated time to go pray? I don't want you to answer because I don't want to answer it. You know what? That's the reason that we're babes in Christ is we do not pray anymore. Why is prayer important? Number one, it's the way we come to salvation. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13-14, listen to this, what this man did. And the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. This man was saved. Listen, tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You know what saved this man? Calling out to Jesus Christ. Lord, save me, a sinner. Lord, that's what I need. You see, we are saved through prayer. We come to God and we cry out to him. The Bible says, all who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The first thing we come to be a Christian is through prayer. You may be here this morning, you've never prayed that prayer. I beg you to cry out today to him. We must have it. Prayer is how we stay clean before God daily. We must go to him asking, Father, cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. If there be anything there I don't need, God, fix me, heal me. We can see it in Psalms, in the prayer of David, and all through this thing, where men cried out to God to make them clean daily. How many times have you got up in the morning, and before you leave your house, you say, oh God, protect me. Oh God, clean me. Oh God, use me today. And I promise you, if we would do that, we'd see a difference in our church. We'd see a difference in our life and in our land. But most of us get up, we rush out the door, and never acknowledge God. I've tried to get in me a habit. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just simply telling you what you can do. I'm still too sorry to get up early enough to truly get in earnest prayer with God. But I've tried to every single day for about the past several months. I've tried before I walk out the door, or I do it on the porch sometimes. I pause and I thank God for that day. I pause and I say, God, thank you. Protect me. Protect my family. Put a hedge about me today. And let everything I do be about you. Now, many times I don't hold to my word. But he holds the hedge. When is the last time you earnestly come before God and cried out and say, God, show me what's wrong. Show me where I stand in fault. Show me what's wrong in my life and clean me up. We don't do it. We sin daily. We must be cleansed daily. Prayer is how we get the strength to continue. How many times you've been in a hard spot in your life and you cried out, oh God, help me. God, bring me through this thing. God, I'm in a terrible time. I can just imagine what prayers the Wallace family over in Rambert and the Dake family over close to our house must have been praying lately. I can't imagine what it must be to lose a child. Some of y'all have been there. I've never been there, but some of you have, and you know that it's only through God you get the strength to continue. I have lost my grandparents, and I know what strength comes from that, and praying in different ways, but we have to pray to get the strength to even go on. I tell y'all, there's times I want to give up. There's times I say, Lord, I think I'll just quit this preaching thing. Maybe it wasn't for me. Maybe I went out there on just something I wanted to do. Maybe you wasn't in this thing at all, so maybe I made a mistake. And I say, Lord, I tell you what I'll do. I'll just quit. And I pick up my Bible, and immediately I read somewhere, and it says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? And then I read somewhere else, and it says, hey, boy, God's got a job for you. Then I read in Jeremiah where he says, like a fire shut up in his bones, Jeremiah could not quit. Listen, if God has called you to do something, you have to do it, or you're going to live a miserable life. How many of us cry out to God for strength? We cry out for him for healing. Look at James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust and you have not. You kill. You desire to have and cannot attain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ever thought that maybe you're going through what you're going through because you're just too hard-headed to cry out to God? You're just too self-sufficient. You're too proud to get on your knees before God and cry out to him. You've heard me say this before, but if you was to build a brand new church today, let me tell you how to save some money. You could leave the altar out of that thing because it ain't used anymore. Nobody has any use for it. They're afraid somebody's going to think they've done something wrong. They think somebody's going to think they're weak, that somebody's going to think this. Let me tell you something. They're thinking it anyway. You need to come down here and you need to cry out to the living God and ask him to strengthen you and to help you go on. And if you'll do that, I promise you will begin to grow spiritually. We want to try to do it on our own. We want to be the world's best Christian on our terms. We want to take shortcuts. I had a teacher when I was in high school. He taught us math. His name was Bart Young. Many of y'all know him. Coach Young used to say I was the world's worst at trying shortcuts. He said, you want a shortcut to everything. Where he messed up is one time we was doing a math problem, and he said, I'm not supposed to show y'all this right now, but you can do this a shorter way. So, boy, I figured out then, Rudy, there's shorter ways to everything. But listen, we cannot take a shortcut with God. If you're going to be a spiritually mature Christian, you cannot get there without a daily prayer life. Cannot happen. Church, we cannot get there without a corporate prayer life of our church. Praying one for another. Hey, we got prayer lists on our bulletins. It's that long. When's the last time you took every one of those names and you earnestly prayed for them? Do you realize Charles Stanley, I heard him preach it the other day, he still takes a prayer list from his church. He takes it to his study or wherever he goes and gets along with God. He goes through every name and he cries out for that person. When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time? You see, me and you today, we're living in this busy world. Well, preacher, I don't have time for that. Let me tell you, you don't have time not to do it. God could snap his fingers and you could be out of this world. You better make time for God. The next one, second part of our food group, is daily Bible study. Daily Bible study. There's not a one of us in here, even those of us trying to lose a little bit of weight or different things, there's not a one of us in here goes a day without eating something. You must have some water. You must have some crackers. You must have something to survive. You can go without food, they say, for 40 days, but you can't go without water but for 3 days. After 3 days, your body starts shutting down. The scripture says of itself, I'm the living water. You cannot go without it. So there's not a one of us in here that could go without water for more than, let's say, 4 days. You would perish. You would die. You would shrivel up. And they would have you over there where Keith works. You could not do it. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Why do we need the Bible? You ever wondered, did God just have the Bible written so we could say, hey, there's something we can hold on to? Did God just give us a word and say, here it is, y'all figure out what to do with it? Listen while we have the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why do we need the Bible? Hey, the Word speaks it of itself. We need instruction. We need instruction. I can remember when I first learned the job that I have now. We got a new computer system in, and Corey can tell you how computers dumb I am. I know nothing about a computer. I come to Corey, can you fix this thing? Can you do this? Or I go to Stephanie or somebody that knows about them. I remember I get that program, and I thought, God, there's no way I can do this. And I called the man, and he says, there's a little tab up top that says help. And you click that little tab, and it tells you everything you need to know about that system. I needed instructions. We talk about all the time, Lord, if I just knew how to live my life, God, if I knew what you had for me to do, God, if I knew how to raise my children, may I tell you something? You've got instructions. You've got an instruction book. You want to know how to be married? Hey, you got the instructions. You want to know how to give to your church? You got the instructions. You want to know how to make your family life better? Give to you. You got the instructions. You want to know how to discipline your children? You got the instructions. I could go on and on. It is all the instructions man will ever need for his life. Next is for doctrine. It's for doctrine. We're hearing all different kind of doctrines in our day and time. Oh, you don't really, the Bible don't really mean this. It don't really mean that. You don't really have to do that. You don't really have to do this. Listen, the Bible is what it is. It's God's word. It's God's truth. It don't change. It's the same yesterday and forever. And if you want to grow spiritually, I promise you, you cannot grow without the word of God daily. Daily in the word of God, growing, seeking out the things. Get you a time that you get along with God and you read the word of God and you pray over the word of God and you ask God to show you what it means. I hear people say all the time, well, I can't read the Bible. I just can't comprehend it. I've had one guy said, I understand it better if you listen to it. Hey, that's fine with me as long as you're in the Word of God. Whatever it is, you need it penetrating your heart and life. But we wonder why we sit here. We hadn't learned anything. Surely it must be my teacher's fault or my pastor's fault. No, the reason is we're too lazy to get into the Word of God. We'll go without food for a week. We'll get malnourished. Boy, I really don't like this other one. Reproof and correction. You want to know where you're wrong? Go to the Word of God. You want to know what's wrong? Go to the Word. You want to know who says it's wrong? Hey, Word of God says it's wrong. That's the only truth we have. I preach this over and over. Now, the only truth we truly have in this land is the Word of God. It's the only thing I know is true. All this other stuff I think is true may not be true, but bless God, the Word of God will always be true. It has been for thousands of years, and it will always be the truth. It's for reproof, for correction. It tells me anything I want to know. You know what I've come to find out? I believe this is why so many people don't want to read it. I believe it's why so many people want to take parts out of it. They want to change it. You got versions today that turn the he's and she's and take that out so it's non-gender. We know what that's all about. We've got all that stuff that's coming. Let me tell you something. The Bible says you should not change one jot or one tittle. I know there's different translations that turn it, make it easier to read. I understand that. I don't believe it was talking about that. I believe it was taking and saying something that God said was wrong and man making it right. I believe that's what it was talking about. Listen, we got to be careful. For proof, corrections. It even provides us with all we need to accomplish God's plan for our lives. You say, preacher, how am I supposed to find out what God wants me to do? You read the scriptures. You know how I come to know that I should be a pastor and I should be a preacher? I was going through a tough time in my life and I began reading the Word of God more and more. And every single time I picked it up, something would come up about telling somebody about the Word of God. Or I would turn. I could at that point in my life, I could open the Bible up, it seemed. I'd just pick it up and open it. And I promise you, it would be open to the chapter about how they're going to hear without a preacher. And I'd close my eyes and I'd say, God, there's no way I could do that. And I would see myself preaching. And I begin to say, God, I can't do that. I'm too shy. I cannot talk to strangers, God. I just can't even order at a drive-thru restaurant. He says, look who you're married to. She can talk the stop sign. I said, amen. He done the same thing for Moses. Listen, seriously, the Word of God will let you know what God's will is for your life. That's the reason a lot of people don't want to know. The reason a lot of people don't want to grow spiritually. Well, if I grow spiritually, God may want me to do something. You're absolutely right, He does. If you grow spiritually, God's going to want you to do something. He's going to want you to get on fire for Him. He's going to want you to tell people about Him. He's going to want you to be involved. Leads us to our next one. Our fourth food group we must have is fellowship with other believers. Fellowship with other believers. You read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking in bread and prayers. That's the first church we studied about it this morning. If you're going to grow spiritually, you must be in fellowship with other believers. I've heard people say, well, I can stay at home, be closer to God. Well, then you're better than the Bible says you are, because it tells us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It tells us that in the Scripture. You know why? Because we grow strength from one another. We get power to go on from one another. It's impossible to grow spiritually and to be by ourselves. You must be weekly. You must encircle yourself with other believers. I've learned stuff from other people since I've been here. I've learned stuff in our Wednesday night class. I've learned stuff in our Sunday morning Sunday school class. I've learned stuff from hearing other people preach and teach, and I've learned something. If you ever get to the part where you think you can't learn anything, then you're in a danger spot. You're always learning. Listen, why else we need one another. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know why I need every one single one of y'all? Because sometimes I need to talk. You know why I need that? Because sometimes you need to talk. And you can talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I urge every single person that attends this church to get involved in a Sunday school class, get involved in a Wednesday night class, get somewhere so you can learn. Listen, you'll learn a little bit up here with me preaching, but I promise you, you're going to spiritually grow when you get involved in a small group somewhere. You know why? Because you'll open up. And you can ask questions in a group of 5 or 10 that you wouldn't ask in a sanctuary during a preaching sermon. You can come closer, you can speak your mind, and guess what? Even from you, somebody might learn something. I've seen it happen. You must be in a group of other believers. You must choose who you're around. Christians with godly influences. This may be more for the teens than it is for us, but we still holds true for adults. You're going to grow spiritually, you must be around Christians who are growing. Listen, I told y'all I used to run a lot. I still run a little bit. I'm trying to get better again. But I found out something when I was running. If I run with somebody who was equal to me, I never got better. I never got a bit faster. Yeah, but if I could train with someone who was a little bit faster than me, next time I was better. If I could find somebody a little bit faster than them, next time I was better. And I was running, and I run a 5K over in Bowden, Georgia one time, and I met a guy who I used to work with, and he was in much better shape than me probably, and we started that race, and we run the first mile, and I thought, man, I've never run a mile that fast since I've been out of high school and didn't even do it then. Since I've been 30 years old, how am I doing this? The second mile was the same pace, and the third mile was just a little bit off, but the same pace. You know how I done it? Because I stayed beside him, and he pushed me, and I become stronger. It's the same way in our Christian lives. You get involved with somebody who is spiritually more mature than you are, and I promise you something, you will grow spiritually. But if you get in touch with some people who are not spiritually mature at all, guess what else will happen? You'll begin going down to their level. You'll go back to the main character, the main functions of the Christian belief. You'll go back to the baby in the manger, which is great. We couldn't have our faith without it. You go back to Christmas time and the plays we have, which is great. I love them. You go back to Noah and all this stuff. But listen, church, it's time we go on. He wants to teach us some great things He's got planned for us. Boy, there's stuff in this Bible that we can't even dig out. We can teach a lifetime. But listen, we're not able to do it because we've got so many people on our pews who are still drinking milk. You would be lost. I myself and some things would be lost. I hear some Bible college teachers teach every week, and I leave with my head spinning. You know why that is? I'm still taking some milk and some things. I never went on to the meat of it. Let's move on. Get involved in our church. Get involved. God, if you're here this morning and you're a member of our church, or you're a visitor of our church, I promise you something. God has a plan for you. God has a plan. I hope it's here. But if it ain't here, God's got a plan for you in the body of Christ somewhere. He's got something for you to do. Every single person, he's got an ability to do something. I've never met anybody that couldn't do something for God. I've met people who may not have had a health to do much, but you know what they could do? They could be a prayer warrior. They could be an encourager and tell the teachers, hey, you're doing a great job. Or hey, sometimes people just need a little pat on the back. Encouragement is not bad. But I challenge you to get involved in a church. Get involved. You see, on a softball team, we've got down there, we've got a bunch of players. So right now, everybody's not able to be involved as much as we wish they could. They got two of the best players sitting on the bench, me and Lee. But every other people's got to be involved. Listen, you know why? When you get involved in that game, it means more to you. They let me and Lee hit the other night, and y'all realize how many runs we won by, amen? Listen. But you know what? That game was a little more important to me and Lee than it was Tuesday night because we was watchers. You get involved in your church, and guess what will happen? The Word of God and spiritual growth will become important to you. To become important. We got places you can be serving. You get involved. There again, a lot of people's the old excuse. I cannot. I cannot do that. I can't speak in front of people. That's the number one. You search all fears in the whole world, snakes, spiders, airplanes, car wrecks, whatever. The number one excuse, the number one fear of all people is spiritual speaking. I mean, speaking in a group. Speaking to a group of people is still the number one fear. And it was mine. And I don't like airplanes either. Or snakes. So I have many fears. But get involved in a church. Lastly, you must have personal outreach. You must be reaching out in our communities. Matthew chapter 28, we know it's a great commission. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We must have personal and corporate outreach to grow spiritually. I'm talking about outreach is where you reach out to a lost and dying community. Outreach is where you reach out to a community who is standing in need. We have an outreach box back there, and I'm the worst because I have not put anything in it. But listen, if we're going to have it back there, me included, there needs to be something put in it. Amen? There's no sense in having it. We're taking up space on our bulletin if we ain't going to support it. We need to do that. We must have personal outreach. We must have corporate outreach. We must go out and win souls for Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? You say, preacher, I can't preach. Well, bless God, you can speak to somebody and you can say, hey, we'd love to have you at church. And if you do that, a lot of times a door will open where you begin talking. And you begin talking, you can ask them, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? When they say, I don't. You can pick you up one of these little markers. This ain't it, but it's kind of like it. Back there on the back bench, on the table, it tells you the Roman road. The Roman road will lead you in any way you need to lead someone to Christ. They got to realize they're a sinner and call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved if the Spirit's drawing them. If the Spirit's drawing them, it's up there, up to them. No, you can't save them, but you can lead them in the right way. You must get involved. You must get in an outreach. How will they hear if we don't tell them? And lastly, in this outreach program I'm talking about of your life, of spiritual growth, you must meet needs. Matthew chapter 25. Listen to what it says. The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you bless my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You cannot be a spiritual, mature Christian and not meet the needs of your community and your land. Impossible. You cannot do it. Because the number one thing that Christianity is about is love. It says if you had all gifts, but you didn't have love, you have nothing. If you can preach better than Billy Graham, yet you have not love for lost souls, you have nothing. If you can do all the great things in your community and lead people to do anything, yet you don't love them, you have absolutely nothing. The more you grow spiritually, the more love you'll have for your community. The more love you'll have for your church, you'll have for one another. So how do I do this? How do I grow? How do we understand? You see, the first part we need to understand is, how do we know we got a problem? That's why I want you to go to lifeway.com/discipleship. You'll see something on there called spiritual growth process. Don't do this if you don't want to know truth. It hurts. It's bad. It begins asking you questions. You get over here, then it gives you this little circle graph of where your time spent and how do you fail. What area are you great in, or what area do you lack in? And then it gives you a plan of how to grow spiritually. It even gives you a little chart thing of what you need to do daily. Spend time with Christ. Spend time with other believers. Spend time in quiet time. Just it gives you all sorts of things. And I wish every single person would go and do this. And be honest, if we would do that and take that, what it says, and put it in practice in our lives, within a year's time, we'd see a different church right here in New Harmony. We'd see a different pastor. We'd see a different, I'm not talking about physical different. I'm talking about different spiritually. Seriously, y'all, I cut up a bunch. This thing is serious. Not just in our church, but other churches. It's time for Christians to grow up. Too long, we're sitting there eating milk. Ain't growing a bit. And the sad thing is we've got to a point in our country, and Terry, I'm stealing this from Terry, because he's looked it up. 20% of people in our country are what's called regular church attendees. 20%. 20% of America nowadays is all that's attending church regularly. And guess what they've done decided is regular church attendance. Terry's at once every 6 weeks. Once every 6 weeks now is considered regular church attendance. You know why? Because we got some babes. We got some babies sitting on the benches. Our grandparents were spiritually mature adults. You know why? Because they relied on God for everything they had. Me and you living in a world where we've been patted on the back, told everything is gravy, and we all get a trophy. You see what it's got us. 20% of the people only see a need for God. And you ask what percentage is Christian, and it would be way higher than 20%. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. From the day I was saved, I was one thing. I said, I've got many failures. You couldn't even got time for me to tell you all my failures. But one thing God gave me was a desire to be in His house. A desire to be around other believers, and a desire to be in His Word. No, I'm not in as much as I should be, but He gave me a desire. If you don't have that desire, you need to do some checking up. If you're His, you should want to know more about Him. You should want to know more about Him. Church in closing. If everyone would, please stand. They come with a verse of invitation. You've heard your mom and daddy say it, so you probably don't need to hear me say it, but I'm going to say it again. It's time to grow up. It's time to go forward. For too long, we've been sitting here just happy to have milk. There's no telling what God could show us in His Word if we truly begin desiring some meat. We truly desired more of what He's got for us. I talked to preachers who's pastored for years and years, and they said, one in particular, he said, I pastored this certain church, and he said, I never preached as much on alcohol abuse as I did this one place. And he said, God gave me message after message. And he said, I honestly got tired of hearing myself about it. And he said, I come to find out, the church had some deacons with alcohol problems. He said, and then he knew why God kept giving it over and over. Listen, it's time that we consider in our lives and we take account, see where we need to grow and begin growing spiritually so we can go forward in this thing. I read something else from A.W. Tozier. I told us that I've read some of his stuff this week. He said there would come a time, this man died in the 60s. He said there would come a time in America, in God's churches, that when it would be possible for God to withdraw from the church, and because of its momentum, it could go forward for years and years, not even recognizing that God had left. Because of the programs we've set up, the things we do, the traditions we hold on our own. We could run church without God even being here. Listen, that's sad. But I promise you, if without God being here, this is a series of meetings. This is a social club. We need a desire for God to be in the midst of this thing. And if we desire Him, He will be here. I promise you. As we sing this morning, you be honest with yourself. Are you still a babe? Are you taking some real meat? Are you able to digest some things that are hard because you took the time to eat of it and begin growing in it? If you haven't this morning, it's time. Maybe we have one here that's never accepted Jesus Christ and you're not even a babe, you're not alive. We challenge, ask you this morning to call upon the name of the Lord and He will save you as we sing. This is a place to serve out of. We'll accept members any way the gospel authorizes as we sing. Thank you.